Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WRD with Philip Gentry and Boat Girl.
Hey. Happy Saturday. I think I just broke the arm on the chair here.
Oh, don't
okay.
do that.
Bob. Okay, we're good.
Well, I'm sitting in the one that Bob McClain normally uses, so that's good. So don't break the stuff in the studio,
Boat
Girl.
I'm trying not to.
Awesome. We got a great show for you today. I don't know that we have a theme necessarily for today.
Do we ever have a theme?
We kind of had a theme last year, but I don't know what to, I don't know. Maybe we'll think about it or maybe not. So,
we're kind of doing the end of deer season.
The end of deer season, beginning of fishing season. Yeah, that's a good one. Anyway, let's call it the second week in January theme today. And we're going to talk about, wrote the Upstate Outdoors blog about pre-season fishing gear maintenance. I mean, look at the weather outside.
It's time, y'all.
The wind's blowing. It's cold. It's rainy. And
maybe, it's a great day for y'all to get your stuff checked and get ready to get ready.
That's why I wrote that about that. And then we got one of our buds. We're going to talk with Captain E, Inglis Glover from down at the coast. Captain E is a radio show host with Southern Anglers. I think it's Southern Anglers Radio Show.
Yeah. He does what we do except down there.
Yeah, but not as good.
That's right.
But he's also got a TV show, Reeling Up the Coast, that's on the local cable access, you know, kind of like Wayne's.
It's kind of like a local celebrity.
Kind of like Wayne's World for fishing folks down there. Everybody knows who he is.
Trout on.
I'm sure he's going to talk about his new boat that he's got,
too. Yeah, he's getting a new boat.
So we'll talk with Captain E and maybe even be able to get a fishing report out of him. And then during the second hour, Boat Girl is going to bring us the Roadkill Cafe, and I love how she pairs these with our guests.
So since we're going to be talking about flounder with Captain E, I figured I'd do a flounder recipe.
Awesome.
An easy and healthy flounder recipe that is not put in the Fry Daddy.
Yeah, but it's got to be over 15 inches, right?
Yes.
Okay. If it was caught from South Carolina waters anyway. So then I picked this segment out because, I kind of try to tailor the show after what I think people are going to be interested in, but I've made no bones about it. I'm kind of been looking around at depth finders and stuff, and I even had Boat Girl bring me one of them Ethernet cables home so I could attach my two. I'm really happy with the depth finder that I've got in the rear of my boat.
Yes, because we need to upgrade the front one,
I'm not real sure. So I thought, hey, that'd be a good discussion to have on the radio with Boat Girl.
I know what he wants, but unfortunately,
I'd have to get a bank loan to sell
an organ to get him one.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about how to pick the right depth finder.
Cool. I can get into this.
Actually found this in a Bass Pro Shop kind of how-to article, and it gives a lot of, without, you know,
getting too technical,
without being brand specific, because a lot of stuff that you find on the internet's, you know, pushing, you know, Lowrance or Garmin or Hummingbird or whoever.
Yeah.
Furuno.
And
you don't see a lot of Furunos.
I can see us buying Furuno for Lake Hartwell, right?
But and then we got our buddy. You know, you've heard us talk on the radio about Hammer. I call him Hammer because he'll anybody that comes in the shop is going to be Hammer. But it's Frank Lancaster from King Cut Deer Processing down in Union, South Carolina. Poor old Frank's been busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest.
You got that right.
All year long, and he and his the guys down there at the King Cut Deer Processing have been busy all season. Try to get him on, you know, when we're
mid-season. We tried to get him on, and he's like, "Look, I just can't. I just can't." He's probably working 20 hours a day.
That's what he said. Said, "I just don't have time to be on the radio." He said, "Y'all catch up with me after the end of the season, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about."
He's our post-deer season wind-up, you know.
So we'll talk about that, find out how his season went. And then we're going to wrap up today's show with our calendar of events.
We got a couple.
And then, Bug Girl, you know, on Upstate Outdoors, we've been on the air for over 6 years now. And one of the things that the show has become is sort of a beacon for Bigfoot news, okay?
We have not talked about Bigfoot,
for Bigfoot news
in a long time.
So today's parting shot is about the existence of Bigfoot yet again captured on supposedly trail camera. Somebody's got Bigfoot on trail camera. So we're going to talk about that and be a great show today.
Yeah.
So
It's a good day, I guess, raining.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, again. And, you know, I was able to get out on the water a little bit yesterday.
Yes.
And kind of check some stuff out. And, of course, I found, you know, some stuff that needs repairs. We got to talk about that. And got some of my tackle in order. But it was nice to get out.
Spooled reels this week.
Spooled reels and got out. Didn't do a lot fishing-wise. Just kind of, you know, I always like to do, especially with the little boat, I like to get out and do a kind of a check out.
See what needs to be fixed
and just really just kind of get out on the water and float around. I do a lot of tight lining for
during the cold.
I won't call it crappie fishing, even though I'm using minnows and crappie rods and everything, because you end up catching whatever's around.
Everything.
And that's pretty much the way it went, was, you know, a couple of largemouth bass, a couple of white perch, you know, maybe a striper.
And a couple of crappie.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where you get around with the schools of bait and just float around and kind of like, okay.
Okay, I'm going to get back into fishing season now.
Because yesterday wasn't too bad. Had a little bit of showers and stuff, but didn't get too wet. And it wasn't too cold, and it wasn't too windy. So,
that's good.
Had to get out.
Today's not the good day for it.
No, today's not the day for that.
Cool.
So, so it was pretty good, and I'm really interested to talk about the depth finder thing.
I am too, because being my unprepared self, I haven't even read up what we're going to talk about yet, but
well,
I can give my insight.
But I still hadn't figured out how to connect that Ethernet cable
to the front
and the back.
I need to do it for you. I just haven't had time.
I mean, I thought I did, but
Not so much.
Not working. So
I'll get you.
Okay. All right, well, let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Upstate Outdoors blog. I'll give you some tips on some of the things that I did before yesterday, but I got a whole lot more to do. So we'll talk about that on the Upstate Outdoors blog, preseason fishing gear maintenance. So stay with us.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, well, as I mentioned during the last segment, took a little bit of time between, you know, the time when I really should have been doing maintenance on the guns, which I'm probably going to do that this afternoon.
Yeah, today would be a good day for that.
I got to wipe down all the guns and clean all the guns and everything, put
stuff
away.
And my husband is so sweet, because I do not know how to take care of guns, and you take care of all my stuff for me.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. But I'll do that maybe later on this afternoon. But I just had to get the rods out. I had to get the boat on the water. I knew the rain was coming in. And so that sort of is what led me to write the Upstate Outdoors blog about
Getting ready.
About getting ready. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff to do. And this is really going to fall more into your kind of wheelhouse. But
we'll talk about it here.
Now, although there's still a host of hunting opportunities left during the winter months, the end of deer season...
I know, I'm sad.
Always brings about thoughts of getting on the water to do some fishing, especially during mild winter days. Now, for many, the boats, fishing tackle, and essential gear has gone unused for several months. So before you head out on the water, it might be a good idea to spend a weekend or two getting your fishing tackle back in shape. Now, before you head out on the water, especially during the wintertime, because conditions can be pretty rough during the winter, remember to check your equipment for signs of disrepair or impending damage. Start with your tackle. You want to check your reels and make sure that the line is fresh, that you got enough line on each reel for the for whatever fishing tactic you want to use. And, of course, if the line's old, it might even be a good time to just go ahead and change the line, you know, on those rods and reels.
Like you did.
Yep. And speaking of rods, you want to make sure to go over those with a fine-tooth comb. Make sure that all your guides, the ones that the rods that have inserts in them on the guides, that they're all still in place. And also you want to look for nicks on the guides from storage. That's a bad time for that to happen, especially if you guys hook your hooks in there. Those could damage your line. And most importantly, check for dings or cracks in the rods themselves to make sure a rod doesn't break when you get a big fish on. And now's also a good time to sharpen or replace hooks on your favorite fishing lures and clean any spilled or corroded tackle out of your tackle boxes.
Mm.
Get that gooey mess and just throw it away, because you knew you should have left it like that, but you did.
Right.
Organizing boxes is a great way to spend a few hours, maybe even a couple of weekends, depending on how much gear you have.
In our case, that would take about 10 to 14 days. We got a mess of boxes.
Now, And Boat Girl said, this will go without saying, you need to thoroughly check over your boat, motor, and trailer, especially if they've been sitting idle for several months. The last thing you want to do when you leave home for a fishing trip or if you go for an out-of-town tournament is to discover a problem with your boat or especially your trailer. You want to check the wheel bearings. You know how I hate those. And
yes,
the tires on your trailer to make sure you don't have a blowout on the road somewhere. Also, check your lights. You want to be legal. Make sure they're in running order. As far as your boat motor goes, I just refer that to my wife.
Send that in,
have it serviced, check the fuel, the oil, and the other fluids to make sure your motor's going to run properly. And speaking of motors, trolling motor is also a relatively maintenance-free item, but it's a deal-breaker most of the time if it doesn't work. The trolling motor plug is probably the most worn item. So I've been told it can develop corrosion if water gets in the outlet. I should have quoted you in a lot of this stuff.
I'm nodding my head. I mean, I feel like I contributed to this.
Yeah. Also, you want to make sure that the trolling motor batteries are charged and not out of date. And if you run a remote-controlled trolling motor like I do, check the batteries in your little remote, too.
I always got spares in my purse just in case.
Yep, she does, but she's not always with me. So, finally, you want to check over your boat itself. Test your live well and your bilge pumps, because those pumps can freeze up in cold weather. Make sure that they're operating properly and make sure that all your electrical connections are clean and free of any corrosion that might cause equipment failure. And also, I mentioned batteries when in connection with the trolling motor. Your boat's also going to have a cranking battery.
Check that too.
And I know we have one that's not connected to a charging bank, and always the big deal is making sure it's charged.
We have two batteries. We have a spare, and I need to check that because it hasn't been used or charged much at all. It's just kind of in the...
And that's the worst thing in the world that you do for a battery right there is not use it and not charge it. And then also, finally, check your safety equipment. Make sure that the fire extinguisher is operational and that you have all of the required equipment, life jackets, throwable devices, and they're in working order. And, man, I hadn't even hardly scratched the surface on stuff when I run out of room in the blog. So you did so good.
That's why you were asking me questions
What do you see, like, in – you and I are different than most people because I start fishing as soon as deer season's over.
Well, and it is also tournament season. So my diehard anglers, they got their stuff ready 2 months ago because it's tournament season. It's on. It's the first of the year. But your pleasure fishermen really don't come out until the spawn. So, you know, y'all non-tournament guys that don't want
middle
to get out.
Middle March.
Yeah, early
April.
March, late February,
too
early
cold
March.
To fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now's a great time to be getting that.
What do you see mostly happens when somebody shows up and they say, well, what do they not do? They hadn't changed the gas or they hadn't treated the gas.
I mean, really the thing is just stuff aging out. You know, it's one of those things to have one sit for a couple months with fuel stabilizer in it. But if it's set a year since last April, the last time, and it's got gas in it, that gas is no good.
Ain't no additive going to take care of that.
Nah, it's kind of like taking a cup of spoiled milk and pouring some fresh milk on top of it and thinking it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, once it's gone, it's gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Can't throw fresh gas on top of it.
I'm not even going. Well, and we did pretty good even during the middle of deer season. We took the big boat down to Florida and ran it and put new gas in
But I also put stabilizer in the little boat and the big boat.
Yeah. Well, the little boat runs fine because we were using it, so.
So you're taking care of the little boat. I'm taking care of the big boat. So it's all good.
We're going to go to our break now because we got our buddy Captain E. English Glover is going to be on with us right after the break. And, man, I'm looking forward to talking some coastal fishing and some flounder fishing.
We're going to talk about some floundering.
If I get to talk any.
Yeah, he's awesome.
All right. So,
y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, as promised earlier in the show, we have got our, I don't know, what would you call Captain E? Our roving reporter,
our coastal
reporter
our
for
coastal
Upstate
cousin.
Outdoors. Coastal cousin.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got,
you know what?
We got Captain E, English Glover from down in Merle's Inn on the Grand Strand with us. Captain E, welcome back to the show.
Man, it's so good to be on with you guys. I tell you what, I love coming on, and it's a privilege. You know, I saw a couple weeks ago you actually had Dieter Melhorn on.
Yep.
So I'm like really, really, really nervous and stoked because he's like a hero of mine. So I feel privileged to get my time with you guys. No, I'm seriously, it's always a pleasure to hang out and talk to y'all.
Well, that's cool, Captain E. But actually, I've had Dieter on as a co-host when Boat Girl has something that she's got to do and can't make it on Saturday. So Dieter's actually been in the studio with me a couple of times over the years.
He has. He sat in my chair.
Now I'm even that much more hurt. But I tell you, there's no doubt that I'm sure he never ran out of anything to say, somewhat like myself.
Hey,
to talk about.
That's what makes good radio. And speaking of which, you a face made for radio, but you got a TV show too, reeling up the coast.
Yes, thank you. Yes, my face is definitely made for radio, and yes, I do get to enjoy being in front of the camera every now and then, and it is fun. But I tell you what, man, these young people getting into this and stuff, they're making our life hard in front of that camera. When you got young kids like myself, but it's hard to travel and do everything right now. It's tough, but we've kind of put it on the back burner just shortly.
Yeah.
But we're going to be on in Charleston here in the next month, and then we've got a couple other spots lined up. But we've slowed down a little bit. Miss Kim decided to go back to school and get her master's degree, and I'll tell you what.
Yay.
It's my turn to sit back and let her do her thing, and so we kind of slowed down for the last couple months on that, but we're waiting on our new I'm calling it the big little brother of your little beautiful boat that you've got. I'm waiting on that. It should be here in the next couple weeks, and
so we're you're going the from the 23 and foot hard. The 23 foot Key West Bay Reef, the 230, and you're going into the 250.
That's right. I can't wait.
Can I have a bigger boat?
No. The Not Mine 5?
The Not Mine 7.
Not Mine 7.
Oh, you missed two boats.
I missed two boats in there somewhere.
The Not Mine 7. And I tell you what, I started, my time hop is wonderful, you know. And time hop popped up. I went striper fishing 6 years ago in Not Mine 1,
yep,
which was a 21, which was the 210 of the redesign when they first did the
right
redesign on the Bay Reef. And, man, I thought about how much I loved that boat and how much I missed it. And, man, the 230s have been incredible, and I'm so happy. I know y'all love your boat, and I'm extremely ecstatic.
There are some days that PG wishes we had a 210.
But we got it.
I'm like, more horsepower, more boat, bigger.
But I will say this, Captain E, we have a cooler name for our boat than you do. Ours is the Bikini Hauler.
Yes, I named it.
It's way better, but you know what? I just wanted people to understand, you know, I honestly, it started as a joke because everybody's like, dude, it's a beautiful boat. I said, it's not mine.
Yeah.
It's not mine. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. It is mine, but I get to borrow it. So, but I like the name Not Mine. So we started with Not Mine, and I mean, it's great. And nobody else has a boat that's called Not Mine. So when anybody's on the radio, if it's a busy day out there, when somebody calls Not Mine, I know who they're calling for.
Well, they all know who you are out there when it says Not Mine 7.
Yeah, but I keep that hidden. I just keep a couple stickers on the side of it. I don't go like MLF Bassmasters crazy on the side of it.
Yeah,
I like having it kind of hidden. And I've got a new little G3 that I use for my personal incognito days that I want to go hit the water. And
camo,
I love that
baby.
Little thing. Don't get me wrong, but that's my bass boat. That's my drinking water boat, as some of my friends refer to it.
Well, would it also be your flounder fishing boat in the inlet?
It is exactly my flounder fishing and that other thing that we do for flounder. That's my boat.
And speaking of which, there's been a lot of, I won't say controversy, but there's been a lot of management discussion back and forth about flounder regulations and how they should be and everything. And you guys have got a lot of that going on down at the coast now with some consensus meetings. Where do we stand on what's the flounder regulations now? Where do we need to be?
Well, I tell you what, you know, I felt like 3 years ago, and I think I came on, you know, you and I, heck, I was on with you, and we talked about it, the 515, when we were all trying to shoot for that five fish, 15 inches, and, you know, we really worked hard at we got the 15-inch part. The regulation stayed at 10 fish per person, and we really thought that we were seeing some significant changes for the better. Over the last 2 years, we thought we were seeing some better fish being caught, better numbers. I mean, yeah, you release a lot of fish. You catch a lot of 14.5 inchers, which really hurts when you think about, you know, 2 years you could keep them.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, I mean, really, I got blindsided at first. When I heard North Carolina was completely shutting down flounder for a year, I was like, what are they doing? Like, is this like, I mean, you know, North Carolina is known for their kind of very – lackadaisical policing of commercial stuff up there.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I thought it was more geared towards that. But then I started doing some research and reaching out to the right people, and, you know, they started putting out numbers. And when they started spitting out numbers that were, you know, far drastically down from 10 to 15, 20 years ago, I'm like, uh-oh, we're getting ready to be in for it, boys and girls. And, you know, we were going to have a little fishing seminar at Marshall's in November, and I reached out to DNR to have them come talk to us about the flounder stuff. And they were like, hey, man, this is a great chance. We want to come bring all of our big wigs, and we want to come there because we're going to start a consensus. We want to go to fishing clubs. We want to hear people's, you know, thoughts on the flounder fishery, how it stands in their eyes. We want to know what they want to see.
So a reduction in numbers is kind of what we're looking at. And nobody wants to do that. DNR, typically, they err on the conservative side, but the legislators, that's the tough ones, the ones that make the laws, they rarely ever follow in line with taking fish out of your live well. So do you think there'll be a reduction in the numbers?
I think without a doubt it'll have to happen. And now I'm going to tell you, as far as our meeting here went, the first one that we had several senators and representatives there, all from our area, which, you know, it's a plus. I mean, but again, when it all comes down to it, our people in Spartanburg, Greenville, you guys are all going to have a say-so in it, and it's very important. But I think that, you know, what they pretty much threw at us was this. There's going to be a change of some degree, and it's going to come in a bag limit. It's going to come in a size limit. It's going to come in a season. And something's got to happen between those. So there will be a change where you can have your voice heard is, you know, I'm sure you've shared it too, but there is a survey out there that they want to hear from the fishermen, from the non-fishermen. They want to know, have you never fished for flounder? But it's not for, you know, typically for a flounder fisherman, you think, but they want to hear from everyone on what your thoughts are with the flounder fishery. The cool thing about South Carolina versus North Carolina, and I say cool because I think it really makes a difference, and PG, I think you're going to be on the same page with me, I think, but the regulations that change here are not just voted on by DNR, not just put into place by DNR. They are voted on. And it does, you know, draw things out a little bit longer. You've got, you know, representatives that might not be affected by certain changes who have to be swayed to vote one way or the other, however you want to say it. So it is great that we are having this opportunity to get out, and it's great to see these representatives and senators out wanting to hear this. But we have to make our voice heard because they want to vote, obviously, in favor of what their constituents want, but they also – like one of our representatives that was here said, I want to err on the side of the resources. And I thought that was great because we had a room of 120 flounder fishermen that were there, and they thought, okay, well, this is what we want, blah, blah, blah. But he said, I want to make sure we err on the side of the resources. And I think that is important. Myself, with two children growing up who I want to be able to fish for them, I want them to get out and enjoy them. I think that taking them into first consideration is big, but I like the fact that we have the chance to voice our opinion. You know, I've got friends that own tackle stores here, that bay stores, that I don't want to share their numbers, but May and June on mud menace sales, man, y'all, we would all quit our jobs just to go sell mud menace. And, you know, if we look at that changes and big closures like what's happened in North Carolina, it's going to affect a lot of people financially. And I just think the economic impact of a complete closure would be far too vast and far too great. I don't think they're going to let that happen, but I think we are going to see significant changes. And I hope that it's a bag limit, and I hope it's a size limit change. I don't like the season idea because some people can't fish at certain times of the year for them. But we'll see what happens, and we've just got to get out there and voice our opinions.
Exactly.
And we're talking with Inglis Glover from Southern Anglers Radio Program down at the Grand Strand.
Amen.
Captain A, we're gonna carry you over and go to our break now. When we come back, we want to talk a little bit more about the proposal the flounder regulations. A lot of this is kind of a work in progress, but we're going to go to our break. When we come back, we'll pick you up on the other side and want to talk about this a little bit more. And also want to make sure we get a fishing report from you before we let you go.
I'll do my best.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back. 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, we're back. We've got Captain E down from Myrtle Beach, and we've been talking about a lot of different stuff, but mainly focusing on we're in the early stages of discussing changes in regulations for flounder fishing, and a lot of the DNR is really interested in that. The numbers have been low, and of course, this has kind of been a moving target for a while.
Probably a couple of years.
Yeah, for a couple of years. Well, as the population increases, you know, down along the coast, and again, like Captain E was talking about with the numbers of being really just shut down in North Carolina, I'm sure a lot of those anglers are coming in there. Captain E, one of the questions I want to ask was, do you have sort of a sponsor in the legislature? I know Stephen Goldfinch is a big fan of you guys down there. Would Goldfinch be able to take a good proposal into the legislature with this flounder situation?
I think so, without a doubt. I'm gonna go ahead and put Representative Lee Hewitt and Representative Roger Kirby.
Yep.
Probably.
Yep.
Because it's gonna obviously start off in with those guys. Those two are really, really motivated to listen to what everybody wants to hear, and I think they're going to pretty much they both sit on the Department of Natural Resources Committee Board, whatever.
Yep.
You want to say.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be our big strength. Obviously, having Senator Goldfinch as a ally to the resources is incredible for all of South Carolina. And I say that he's a personal friend, but a business friend, and he actually cares. But he is a really good ally for the resources and for the angler and outdoorsman, because he is as well. And so I think, you know, moving into the Senate, yes, he will be a big, strong supporter and partner for us.
Yeah, most of this stuff usually starts in the House. And I'm sorry, I should know that. And
you're right.
I think Kirby, I know Roger Kirby's in the House, and that's usually where, and it's the, I always forget the name of it, the Forest, Fish, and Game or something like that committee that they're on.
That's it. Forestry, Game, and Wildlife, whatever. But, yeah, it's going to start with those guys. And I think, you know, we were talking at the end of the segment prior, I think without a doubt we're going to see a change hopefully of just two different things out of that whole buffet that they throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing, let me reiterate, here's the numbers, where the numbers that they're getting it from. There's been a 74%. I might not be exact. 74% decrease in stock assessment from Cape Hatteras to Cape Canaveral.
Now,
that all the way down into Florida,
our southeast.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're looking at a big, vast area that is affected by this. And you know, of course, I've been involved with marine fisheries, with South Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, with lobbying for all kinds of stuff. When you talk about intercepts, dock intercepts, and I just don't like where to get the stats from, but Doc Intercepts, where you might interview PG coming out, and he's been down here on his one trip of the year to go fishing in Merle's Inlet for flounder, and then you skip two guys that fish Merle's Inlet every day.
Every day.
And so you're getting a number from him, but, you know, there's always, you know, some margin of error. But I truly believe for it to be that significant and that low, I think there's valid, legitimate reasons for us to warrant changes and to make sure that we preserve these flounder. And, you know, I'm all in on whatever they come up with. The one thing, and I'm a gigger, I'm very, very part-time, very limited.
Yeah.
But the one thing, everybody's pointed fingers at giggers. Pointed fingers at giggers. Yes, there are giggers out there that probably take way more than they should. There are fishermen that do the same thing. So 97% of flounder landed are landed on hook and line. So let that be your number right there. Do you think that giggers affect the fishery greater than hook and line? No.
Yeah.
Well,
Captain E, I don't hear you saying that you want to be an advocate for larger than 15, and that comes into play when you're talking about reproduction. But exactly. As far as a creel limit, what are you thinking? I mean, to me, 10 seems to be
a lot.
Especially any kind of saltwater fish that you're talking about that's not like a schooling fish or. You know, yep. 10 seems to be a large number. What would you think it would settle at that would help the stock recover?
I heard 2 to 3 fish.
I agree.
From a biologist, okay? 2 to 3 fish. From a biologist, that's what I was told, would be a number that we'd have to get at. There's been talk of a slot limit. There's been talk of a slot limit with possibly one over and – you know, so forth and so on. Philip, PG, you brought up a great point. Most people don't understand. Flounder, when they reach 14 to 15 inches, they're at maturity. When you start killing fish over 15 inches, you're killing the females. You're killing, you know, the breeders.
Breeders, yes.
To sit out and just target them, you know, you open it up. And now that I look back at the 15-inch minimum that we pushed for, you know, had I really put my head down and thought hard about it, other than thinking, oh, we're going to make it bigger, we won't keep as many, blah, 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 you know, I might would have jumped on board with another idea. But I think possibly a slot limit, I think possibly maybe one or whatever over, and definitely I love the 2 to 3 fish. I do. Personally, I love it. I think it's a great number. And I'm taking that to speckled trout. I wish – And I want to give you a report, by the way.
Well, Captain E, I hate to interrupt you there, but we've run out of time again. We're going to have to catch the fishing report next time. Let me ask you this: if folks are interested, maybe want to get their input in on this, what is the best place for them to make their, you know, their experience, their desires, and their input known to the DNR?
Well, I'll tell you what. I am actually driving on my way home from doing my radio show right now. But I'll tell you what, if you let me get time, I'll grab that link and send it to you. And if you want to put it on your page, throw it up there.
Yep. Okay.
And throw it up on your page, and that is South Carolina Department of Natural Resources survey, and they'll be able to go on there. You don't have to put any names in or anything.
Okay.
Just fill out your survey and do it. Does that sound good to you guys?
Absolutely. Captain Inglis Glover, thanks for being on the show with us. Great information. And for the listeners out there, we'll get you caught up on that. Captain E, thanks for being on the show and have a great day.
Hey, it's always my pleasure. Always my pleasure to hang out with y'all. I'm so glad y'all are carrying this thing on, the two of y'all. Y'all are perfect.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Okay, so I got full education on now as far as I agree with what he's saying.
So we'll put that link on our Facebook page, and right now we're going to go to our break, and then when we come back, we're done.
I was writing down the DNR website, and I lost my spot. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD. We're going to get our papers together.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.